Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC. I'm Jim.
And I am Aaron.
And we're talking about Season 5, Episode 5. What's the name of this one? I did not get it.
Slap Town, Part 2. Slap Harder.
Slap Harder. Yes.
Slap a Bugaloo.
Slap Eugene this time.
Self-help.
Self-help, yes. What did you think of this episode, Aaron?
Can I recuse myself on the grounds that I'm not fit to judge this episode?
Why aren't you fit?
I've got like 3 hours of sleep in the last 42 hours, 48 hours. I can't even tell you how many hours are in a day anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, you cannot recuse yourself. That's what we're here to do, is judge this episode.
Okay, so my first initial take is that I thought this was a not too good episode of The Walking Dead in a way that I'm kind of fearing for the rest of the season, which is terrible since I had such high hopes in this season. The first two episodes were so good. In fact, you know, I feel like this episode is less successful than the third episode. This episode was less interesting on many levels than the last episode. I'm kind of starting to think, and this is just my first opinion, damn it, but I feel like that this might be the worst episode of the season so far.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to go that far with it. I think they're trying to do some...
It's the instant take. I mean, this is my instant reaction to having watched it.
Definitely. And you know that people are going to write in and they're going to tell you that you're a dumbass for your instant
take.
That's
fine. That's fine.
But I feel like it had some much-needed characterization. Like, as much as we've seen Abraham, we don't know anything about him, really.
What do you know now that you did not before?
That he had a wife and kids, and they left him after he beat four men to death.
He beat a man to death, with a can of soup, apparently.
Yes, SpaghettiOs, I think.
You gotta be careful with those, what do they call it, the hearty... Hardy Campbell's.
Yeah, Chunky. Is it Chunky or
Chunky,
Hardy?
Chunky and Hardy, yeah.
Well, I think they ran away because that was their dinner, and he popped it like Popeye does with spinach while he was beating these men, so they had no dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Like, I felt like there was a piece of information missing about those men and what they tried to do to the family or why Abraham killed them.
Yeah,
they
but
just didn't make it all line up.
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like that there's a couple possibilities here. Uh-huh. Number one, these were bad men doing something, threatening his family, in which case,
why would they run from him?
Well, but I feel like, you know, we don't know how early into the zompocalypse it is, and maybe they're just horrified that their father beat and husband beat someone to death. I mean,
obviously they are.
That's annoying to me, but I get it. Option two is that Abraham completely overreacted to people wanting to share food or whatever.
Yeah.
Option three is that Abraham is abusive towards his family. I thought in one scene, and again, instant take, I was not able to go back and watch it again.
Disclaimer.
I thought I saw his wife with a black eye.
Okay. I'm not sure about that either.
And I wonder if there's like maybe he's been abusive towards her and he's got a kind of a temper anyway.
It's hard to tell in this world what's dirt and what is a black eye. Right?
Yeah. So she could be afraid of him. And I, you know, some of those possibilities are interesting dramatically.
I think him overreacting would make maybe the most sense. But again, like we shouldn't be speculating on this, right?
If they're trying
to characterize Abraham.
Okay. So if you want me involved in a mystery. Mm-hmm. This is just not that interesting to hold to for it's more annoying when you drag something out in the multiple episodes than it is intriguing.
So
there are some things that are intriguing that are worth exploring over several episodes, but I just, you know, this feels like Walking Dead kind of going back to.
So we're leaving out a piece of information here though, because we actually were talking before the episode and said, maybe this is like part of a two-story arc for Abraham where he gets his real characterization, and we just don't have all the information about that yet?
Well, obviously, because I still don't know. I've got as many questions. Although, I feel like that they told this arc, and we were supposed to, you know, as the present-day thing was unfurling, the past day, mm-hmm. one was also kind of unrolling. And I feel like that this was a complete... It doesn't feel like there was something missing. I'll tell you another thing that's frustrating. The fact that this all happened within miles of the church, mm-hmm. which makes the group splitting up feel very what's the word I'm looking for?
Pointless?
Pointless, yes.
Yeah.
And I was saying as I was watching this crash, I'm like, oh my God, and it's only 15 miles. And I'm like, well, that them having a flat tire 15 miles from camp is just as likely as them having it 500. It's like flipping
a
coin.
That's true.
You know, the odds, but for some reason, dramatically, it feels like a cheat. It feels like I just...
Yeah, so Eugene put glass in the fuel line.
Right.
He sabotaged the church bus. Why that flipped the car, why that flipped the bus, I'm not certain.
I don't think it did. I think that...
You think the tire blew out?
I think unrelated to the glass being in the fuel line...
That's quite a coincidence, yeah.
A tire was flattened.
Okay.
And, you know, but that there again, it's like I was really trying hard to be like, okay, you hit a flat tire, you lose control, you hit a car, and you flip because it's Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, so I think why they did that, why they made it so close, you know, was because they wanted to show how gung-ho Abraham was on this mission.
Well, this other thing.
Like, after losing his family, that became the thing that sustained him. Like, Eugene helped him survive as much as he helped Eugene survive. And then they wanted to lead this all up to the explosion between Abraham and Eugene at the end.
Well, did you notice that in one of his insane rants, he was going on like, if you stay, you eventually get cornered. And when you get cornered, people die. You can't stay. He was kind of railing like against his personal experience. Like maybe he had this store set up and, you know, a small group of survivors were there and they're holed up and things went bad for whatever reason. And now he's kind of like, you know, we've seen Rick overreact, the lessons he's learned. Maybe his learn is we can't, you know, we can't set up camp for any reason, which is one of the reasons why he wanted to, you know, the first provocation, he wanted to get out of that church situation.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And that's the thing, like it's not like we still don't know why him and Rosita had that. We got to pick our moment, right? I mean, we kind of thought maybe it was because that was the evidence of, but there's nothing that really definitively paid that remark off. And so I don't think that, like, I don't think Abraham would have stayed at that church much longer than a day or two anyway.
I think you're right. I think they're doing some subtle stuff with Abraham's character, and I kind of like that they're trying that.
Possibly too subtle.
Maybe. Like, I'm not totally convinced that I'm not just really tired and not picking up on the clues they're dropping.
Right. But I think, I don't know, that feels like kind of a little bit of bald move horseshit to blame, you know. Because I'm starting to get the opinion that some of this disjointed Pulp Fiction style narrative where they're like, here's this, now let's go back and see how we got here. And now let's go back and, you know, where they kind of like feeds into itself and it feels like the episodes are.
Yeah.
I don't know because last episode didn't work for me, but I was super excited for the setup. Now we go away to an Abraham episode that, because this all takes place 15 to 20 miles from the church, feels like it's inevitable that, you know, Rick's going to be, you know, pulling up in a pickup truck. Hey, how are y'all? Where are y'all going? That, you know, and after we're done figuring out. So now we got a pin stuck in here. We got a pin stuck in Carol and Daryl. We know how that converges already at the hospital. Uh-huh. We're probably going to have to wait another episode. So this is all going to be resolved in about two episodes. And Rick's going to be coming down the road with Michonne and Carl and Gabriel, Blair and Molly Hatchet and be like, you know, y'all need a ride. And then we're going to go off into the whoa. Just then we're going to go off into the sunset of season 5B. And I don't know. Okay.
Well, you got to see. So it changes things. Like, the stuff that happened on the road makes it kind of interesting to think what happens when Rick does show up, right? Like, okay, we know Eugene's full of shit now. He's 100% full of shit. Abraham is a destroyed man. He no longer has a mission.
And we also know that he's kind of crazy, and he's also the kind of leader that will start beating his own people when they give him a significant lip.
Uh-huh. So it could get kind of interesting once Rick shows back up.
Sure, that stuff is good. That stuff was already set up at the end of episode 3. None of that. I don't feel like I got any more. You know, I got another episode of do not lay hands. And, you know, he pushed Rosita to the ground.
He pushed everybody to the ground.
Pushed everyone to the ground.
Except Maggie.
He's a big, strong man.
Yeah, I liked how he was double-fisting zombies as they're coming at him in the
No,
the
he's
bus.
A beast. That stuff, yeah. I didn't have any problem with that.
He's a poor tactician, though. He gets surrounded very easily.
What did you think of... So, I mean... I was worried that was the one thing in the trailer, the preseason trailer, that didn't work for me. I was like, wow, we're really hosing down zombies with a high-pressure zone, and they're just dissolving.
It sounds awesome, though.
I thought it looked dumb, and the fact that they made it a point that that fire truck was incapacitated. There was no engine running. There's no way they can... You could pressurize that tank, but it's like... You know, once you let that thing off for a second or two, it's just going to peter out like a dude with a prostate problem. There's no way you can just be continually pump out that high PSI with the motor off.
Yeah.
Like, I know that.
Yeah, and I'm not certain about that, but I think that's the case, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the law of thermodynamics. If that wasn't the case, you could just aim that cannon at a fucking water mill and just generate infinite power. Also, I'm trying real hard to think of a scenario where that snorkel would get completely blocked by human entrails and skin and blood.
Well, we've seen how easily the walkers dissolve in water, so maybe, you know... A walker's up there. It rains a few times over the years, and boom, walker slushy in the intake. I don't know, man.
I don't know that. So that set once again. I've got a zombie set piece that I think looked cooler in their heads than it actually worked on paper.
I'm totally with you there. I thought it even looked kind of bad. The pressure didn't look that high.
Yeah, and we talked to a couple fans over this weekend that were finding fault with the. I think it was the open of season four. The zombie Walmart.
Yeah.
With the guys hanging from their guts. Like, I don't know why that works for me, because that's kind of ridiculous as well. The walkers falling through the... And this just doesn't. But, like, I like my zombie set pieces, but I need to not be skeptical of how the heroes would get there and how the mechanics of the set piece would work. Like, well zombie, bullshit. Walmart zombie, awesome. Tunnel zombie, bullshit. you know, exploding zombies on fire, awesome. I don't know how I make that determination, but that's how I do. And just judging from what I saw on Facebook, the Facebook thread, which I didn't have the heart to jump in on, we got started a couple minutes late and we were, you know, catching up on the DVR. And I was just, I don't know, I wasn't in this episode. I'm scared. I'm scared because... you know, that's the thing. I'm not getting a lot of momentum here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Just when I start to care. And at the end of this episode, you know, Eugene came clean and Abraham's deflated and they're still 20 miles from the church. So worst that happens is he finishes beating Eugene to death and they'll go walk back to Rick's group. There's no drama. They haven't, like, you know, I kind of thought maybe they'd diverge or go way off the path and it'd make it hard for them to rendezvous. They'd have some drama there.
Yeah, I mean, worst case is you lose Abraham, you lose Eugene, and boom, you're back to, now you got Fist Bump and Rosita as part of your group.
Yeah.
Because Abraham doesn't look like he's going anywhere at the end of this thing. He falls to his knees. He's
shattered him.
Yeah, completely done. He might just straight walk into that horde of walkers. What did you think of the herd?
Ready to blow his head off. So there's another thing. I thought that was a very tense scene.
Yeah.
But they completely deflated it by, like, I get it that they can't see or smell or hear you from that far away.
Yeah.
But when you start shouting at the top of your lungs and having a five-man, two-woman scuffle, or actually, I think it's a two-man, five-woman scuffle. Three-man.
Are you counting Eugene as a man or a woman? I don't know at this point.
He is a mullet.
Yeah.
His achy breaky heart is not. And that's the other thing.
He's
like,
the third sex mullet.
What was the direction for him running to Abraham from help at the end?
And you mean where he's like just kind of fumbling down the road like a walker himself?
So that's the Walking Dead zombie apocalypse version of like those late night infomercial. Tired of opening Ziploc bags? Get the new Ziploc, you know, fucker. And it's just going to fuck them Ziploc bags and rip them open for you. And then it shows everybody after. And really, it's not that big a deal.
Tired of walking away from zombies.
Yeah. Are you tired of running from zombies? Help me. You know, get the Abraham-O-Matic.
I feel like
he's so useless.
He is, and that's the point, right? They're making a joke here.
Sure.
They've got to be, because there's no way anyone,
and I've usually enjoyed,
including Eugene, runs away.
I've
like
usually
that.
Enjoyed the Abraham jokes. I was kind of even that's the other thing, the whole, for some reason it didn't work for me that he is coming clean and yet clinging to the whole, look, it's just a fact, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
he didn't think through the consequences of what he's about to tell these people.
On the other hand, they've made it very clear that he has some sort of, you know, spectrum disorder that would make him incapable of knowing the difference between leveling and also what a precarious position he was in there.
Yes.
So it's like that's true to the character, and it's annoying, and maybe it's by design.
And the point is fair that he wouldn't have survived on his own. I mean, look how he ran away from those walkers.
Sure.
So, at that moment, I guess lying and kind of pushing off the inevitable revealing of the truth
is
the way to go for him.
And there is a core, this Abraham as mid-prison Rick. Like, Rick was
pre-farmer Rick or post-farmer?
Pre-farmer Rick was certifiably insane.
Yeah.
And Glenn's got a habit of almost getting killed by the berserker leaders here. I mean, Rick almost did him in the tombs, and Abraham almost
got him.
Yeah. but I feel like that there's something interesting there in the comparison, and maybe Rick is in a unique position to help him recover from that psychosis. You know, I was there, and we know that Abraham also respects Rick.
Yeah,
which is going to have to be a key component to his recovery here.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't want to see us lose Abraham at this point.
I like Abraham.
Like Abraham.
I like Kudlitz's portrayal of him.
I might even like him more now that he beat the shit out of Eugene.
But, you know, as I was getting away from... I do like Eugene's hijinks up to a point. I kind of...
Yeah.
It was a little weird him doing the Peeping Tom routine.
Uh-huh.
And have it, like, the way they filmed it, he was, like, 15 feet away.
Yeah.
So, like, they're aware he's watching. They're talking about him in the third person. He has to know that he is discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like it's this one big kind of kink deal.
Yeah.
I don't... That doesn't jive with what I know of Abraham so far.
Also,
it seems kind of outfield, but maybe that's, I don't know, that's a nitpick.
It is, yeah.
I don't know how he works. I don't know how he gets his rocks off, gets his sack off.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, they undermine Tara a little bit by having her go and take a peek at the very end. Although I don't know that there's much to undermine with Tara. Like, Tara is a non-entity at this point.
It's unfortunate because by the end of fourth season, I was kind of all in on Tara. I was buying high on Tara.
Yeah, she hasn't done anything. She hasn't gone anywhere.
She's gone.
There.
She's gone back to fist bumping. Yeah. And now, like, it's one thing to, like, scold a character with emotional problems that maybe doesn't know any better. And like you said, it's a victimless crime. But then she's...
Which is not true.
but then she takes a peek. But on the other hand, they're fucking having noisy sex. And I don't know what the rules are for voyeurism in a zombie apocalypse, especially if the two people are into it.
I assume they're the same for the non-zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it's... But again,
right?
The whole...
Like a violation of privacy is
Abraham and
privacy.
Rosita being into it changes that equation.
It does,
because I think adults can do whatever the fuck they want. It's super creepy if they didn't know and they didn't give consent to that.
Well, they didn't at first is the thing.
No.
Right? They discover it.
But the way I thought, and again, I'm going off a memory, I thought Rosita said something about he's doing it again.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like this is something that's been a recurring thing.
Oh, that Eugene. He's such a crazy guy. He likes to watch us having sex.
They needed a laugh track right there.
Yeah.
He's doing it again. Yeah. Grown.
So I don't know. I want to see this a second time. Maybe I missed some stuff that makes it all come together in a nicer way with a bow tie, with a bow on it.
Yeah, no, I just wish we could have gotten back to Slapdown. And the fact that this...
I don't think this was worse than Slaptown for me.
Well, but what I'm saying is I would rather stay at Slaptown, and didn't feel like an important enough episode to warrant going away from Slaptown. This feels like it's going to be a placeholder, because... And that's the other thing. Is like, if we learn something important about Abraham definitively, I just don't know what he did. That's something I could come around on another watch.
Yeah.
Maybe we did, and I just too stupid / tired to see it.
Yeah, I feel like we did. And I feel like, you know, having Eugene come out and say, hey, I'm full of shit, that's important to the
plot.
That
was an important character. That's very important. That needed to happen.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's the other thing, man. Tara, he confesses to disabling their trying to disable their vehicle, which could get them killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand if she doesn't make the connection to, oh, you're full of shit. But that's one of the things that's been a bugaboo of mine since season one. Characters finding information about other characters that could jeopardize everyone's well-being.
Uh-huh.
And she's not even that good of friends with him. And this is not like, you know, someone that's likable like Shane or Rick and, you know, who's in a leadership. This is the low man on the totem pole that everyone thinks is kind of a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be like, hey, I'm not saying we need to beat this man to death or whatever, but we need to keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Because he's doing he's sabotaging because he thinks he's worthless and all that. I mean, just have a fucking group discussion. Maybe take Glenn. You respect Glenn, right? Glenn saved your life. Mm-hmm. Glenn's a level-headed guy. He's not one that's prone to overreaction. Take him aside and say, this is fucked up. I don't know what to do about it. Maybe not take it to the crazy redheaded psycho wife beater. Wearing.
Yep.
Well, I was just talking about
wife
wearing.
You're wearing. Yeah.
Potentially wife beat in actuality.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know. I that's when characters don't share vital information.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're in an office environment and someone is suspected of like stealing a sandwich from the fridge. It's like everyone discusses it, right?
Yeah. Or like if you're a web developer and you discover like a massive bug in the system that you wrote.
Yeah.
Or that your buddy wrote.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm not going to tell anybody. Don't worry. And then it goes into production and boom, there's this massive bug and now it's a real problem.
Yeah.
Now it's a real problem.
No, that makes sense because I've seen people cover that up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might be right. I'm just saying that it's not optimal.
No, it is not.
And I wish Tara didn't do it.
I'm not saying covering up that bug is a good decision.
And it does, again, if I feel like it makes a character look dumb and unlikable who is kind of, the audience is leaning that way towards her anyway.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I think a second watch is going to do us some good on this. And we will come back on Tuesday fresh-faced. And freshly rewatched. And I think that'll do it. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you on Tuesday.
See you then.